ShasIlluminated.org presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Menachos is dedicated to Le'ilu Nishmas Rabbi Chiel Michel ben Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Karfunkel.
Masechta Menachos Daf Nun Dalad. The Gemara at the beginning of the Daf brings down a machloikis between the Tanakama and the Chanin ben Gamliel with regard to certain lechems which have to dafki be made chometz. We have, like Rashi brings down, the lechems of the shtei halechem on Shavuos and the lechem d'lachmei toido, certain of which have to be chometz. And you want to dafki make them chometz. And the shaila between these tanoim is whether you're allowed to use apples, apple juice, or crushed apples, and the quality of the apples would ferment, or cause some sort of level of fermentation, and would that level be sufficient to make the chometz of the lachmei toidu, the shtei halechem? Tanakama holds ein machmitzim betapuchim, that's an insufficient level of chometz, and you cannot use the apples for the purpose of making these chometz breads. And in the Rav Chanan Gamliel, they said that machmitzim, that you are allowed to use these chometz breads. The Gemara asks on that, who does it go? The Mishnah is of the Trumos, that says that if you have an apple of truma, which you crushed, and you placed it into an eats, so iso of a chemtza, you place it into a dough and it caused the dough to ferment. So the apple of the truma had an effect on this dough. It caused the fermentation in the dough, and that asses the dough, even if it's a large amount of dough compared to the apple, we still say that that's mechametz, and it's a quality that asses a taruvis. And that's the Mishnah says in Masechet Truma. So is that going to follow, says the Gemara, only Rav Chaim Gamliel holds that the apple is making an emes achimutz, like we find over here by the breads of the shtei halechem, the lachmei toida. Perhaps it doesn't go like the Rabbanon, who hold that it doesn't make a chimutz, that there is the small deficient amount of fermentation that comes from the apples is insufficient, not choshev in their eyes, and perhaps it wouldn't ask the taruvus of the dough for the case of the apples and the truma going into the dough. And that's the Gemara's shaila. The Gemara comes out, no, that in fact, over there, everybody would agree, even the Rabbanon, that the crushed apples are going to acid the dough and they cause that even a small amount of fermentation, because even though according to the Tanakama the apples don't cause a chimutz gomor, it doesn't cause a true chometz, but afa pikein noksha ha miyahavi, it's considered to be a deficient chometz. There is epis, a fermentation that took place, which is sufficient to be considered to be a discernible effect upon the dough, that it acid that dough, it makes a fermentation of sorts, a chometz noiksha, and therefore the quality of the apples to make that fermentation, the chometz noiksha, is enough to acid the taru. That's the Gemara in a nutshell. Tosfos over here goes through a couple of tzedodim and how to understand the sugya. The beginning of Tosfos begins by understanding that we're talking over here about a case where nothing but apple juice or crushed apples went into the isa. And the Gemara's question is whether the crushed apples make an emes achomets. It doesn't make an emes achomets. The Gemara brings a machlokes tanoim. And so if the Gemara comes out that according to everybody, the crushed apples, the apple juice, is sufficient to make a chometz noiksha, at least a deficient amount of chometz. That's the Tosfos first learns the Gemara. However, Tosfos has a question on that, because the Gemara in Masechta Psachim, Tosfos is medayek from the sugya in Psachim, that may peiros ein machmitzin klal. In other words, that if you have, let's say, just a dough with nothing but apple juice in the dough on Pesach, it's mamash not a chometz at all, and it would be mutter on Pesach. That's what Tosfos takes out of the sugya in Masechta Psachim. And if it would be chometz noiksha, then l'chayra, it shall at least be osir, some level of isur, at least a rabbono, or no, whatever level of isur chometz noiksha is. We know that even a deficient chometz has sufficient shem chometz to be osur on Pesach. So why does the sugya psachim aduyek that we have nothing but may peiros in a dough on Pesach? It's actually mutter. So therefore, Tosfos comes out with the second mahalach, which is Rabbeinu Tam's mahalach, the second approach of Tosfos. And Rabbeinu Tam held that really may peiros bifnei atzmon, if nothing but fruit juice went into the dough, then it doesn't mechmitz in klal, and that's not what the sugya is talking about. It's mamash not mechmitz at all. That's a sugya psachim, and it doesn't ask at all. It doesn't create any sort of a shem chometz. Not even chometz noiksha. However, the sugya over here says Tosfos is talking about with his mayim badaihu, that there was not just fruit juice but also water with it. And with that, there's a special quality that when the fruit juice mixes together with the water, it does achieve some sort of level of fermentation. According to Chomelim Leliel, it's a chometz gomor. According to the Tanakama, at least it's a low level of chometz, which is chometz noiksha, which is aser on Pesach. And that's what Tosfos comes out. In other words, that the may pairs together with the water, that is enough to make a chometz noiksha on Pesach. May pairs without the water, doesn't ask it at all, and that's the sugya in Masechet Pesachim. This is Tosfos's final maskon. However, Achorin point out that Rashi in Pesachim Daf Lamed Hey appears to learn that Tosfos's first tzad, which is to say that Rashi held that the fruit juice alone, together with the dough, would be enough to make a chametz noiksha, and Rashi Taka holds in Masechet Pesachim that if you have a dough made with just fruit juice, then it is aser at a low level iser chametz noiksha, but it is aser on Pesach. And Rashi learned that was sugya kipshuta, apparently that the sugya over here is talking with a chametz of meperis alone without any water at all in the dough. The Rambam and the Ravid in Hilchas Chometz HaMatzah actually have a machloikas about this point. The Rambam writes, he's meduyik, and he writes, the Rambam writes over there, that if you have a dough that's made with just fruit juice alone, and the dough may pair alone with no water at all, the Rambam is mavur that that's actually mutter and not osram pesach at all, which that nekuda is actually toisus over here, like we said. Whereas the Ravid argues in the Rambam over there, and the Ravid writes that even if it's just made pair alone, even though it's not an emes chometz, which would have a chometz gomor and be a chorus on pesach, but alpha pikain, so derived it's noikshom yahavi for osir. At least it's chometz noikshom, it's a deficient level of chometz, and it is osir. And that is, like the Achorinim point out, the Kehaneri points it out, that is like the Rashi sheet over here. The Ravid and the Rashi are the same sheet. They learn the sugya kipshutoi, and the Kehaneri writes that he holds that that's mamish the pashtas of the sugya. It says it's clear that the simple reading of the sugya is more like Rashi and the Ravid, that they hold, like the pashtas of the Gemara, that we're talking that just have fruit juice alone without any water at all. The Karenera points out that the Lashon of the Mishnah and Shumas that the Gemara brings down over here, Kipshutai certainly seems to be saying that. It says if you crush an apple, Tapuach Shirisko, you put it into an Is of a Chemsa. That's all. There's no Zecher whatsoever in the Sugya that we're talking about a case where you added water. Meila, in other words, by the case of the Shtel Lechem and the Lachmei Toyd, the Gemara doesn't really get into the recipe and exactly what happened. So you really, that's not so hard to learn like Taisis, that you could say that there was fruit juice plus water that you put in. But when the Gemara makes it Sushtel, the Gemara compares that to the Mishnah and Shumas, but to Boach Shiriskoi, Kehaneri said it's very, very strongly mashma of Pashtos, like Rashi and the Ravid, that we're talking about it was just fruit juice alone. And Afal Pikein, the Gemara still calls that a Chometz Noiksha. The Kehaneri writes that actually it's very, very negaya to understand what the sugi is talking about over here. They learn like Rashi, they learn like Tosis. You really have to know, because whatever the sugi is talking about is only a deficient level of Chometz, which is only a Chometz Noiksha. And the Kehaneri says that chometz noiksha, which is a deficient chometz, as we mentioned yesterday, Tosfos has a suffix over here. Tosfos comes out be'ikra like Rabbi Yehuda. That was the Rabbi Yehuda of Seir, a mayor and Rabbi Yehuda by Seir. That was also a deficient level of chometz that we discussed yesterday. The different Seirs where the dough turned pale, or the dough was cracking and it made a lot of cracks. But that was also a deficient level of chometz, a type of chometz noiksha. And Tosfos had a shaila. Tosfos leaves it with a shaila by Seir, the Rabbi Yehuda. Is that a iser a derabbanan on Pesach, or it is iser a deraisa on Pesach? In other words, it's definitely that malchus, like Rabbi Yehuda says, but it might or might not be iser deraisa on Pesach. Tosfos has a suffix about that, and likewise says the Kerenayr, whatever the sugya is talking about over here, chometz noiksha, and with the meperis alone, like Rashi, or meperis with the water, like Tosfos, that is just a chometz noiksha, which might be an only an iser derabbanan on Pesach if you hold like Tosfos. And the Kerenayr writes actually that he thinks that the iker is to go with the tzad of Tosfos, that the chometz noiksha is only derabbanan, which he says could be negeah, and to certain halachos, because he feels that the case of the May Paris, whichever case it is only derabbanan. In other words, according to Tosfos, May Paris with water is only derabbanan. It only makes a chometz noiksha, which is only derabbanan. He holds like that set of Tosfos is a deficient chometz, it's only derabbanan on Pesach. If you go with Rashi, however, it's May Paris without the water that's derabbanan. May Paris with the water is not discussed by the Gemara and could well be a deraisa and could be called a chometz gomor. The Kerenir says that even though my brother Zokter in the Sefer Mishkanos Yankiv, and we quoted the Mishkanos Yankiv yesterday, the Mishkanos Yankiv and the Keren Eri were brothers. They were both among the Gedolei Talmidim of Reb Chaim Volozhin and the Yeshiva in Volozhin. They're both very big Talmidim of Reb Chaim Volozhin. And the Keren Eri says that my brother in the Mishkanos Yankiv says, and we discussed this Mishkanos Yankiv at length yesterday, the Mishkanos Yankiv holds that the Ikar is actually like the Tzad of Tosfos, that the Chometz Noiksha, the deficient Chometz, or the Seir, is a Doraisa, even if it's not a Malkus. And we said yesterday that the Mishnah Yankov takes that out of the pasuk of Shiva Siyam Teichel Matzis, which is an Isra Asay. In other words, if it's in the ballpark of being Matzis, it's a dough and it could ferment, and it goes through any level of fermentation at all, so that it's not a matzah mamish. It's Shiva Siyam Teichel Matzis. If you're eating Matzis, that's mutter, Shiva Siyam of Pesach. But as long as it's not Matzis, in other words, it went to some level of Chometz Noiksha, deficient Chometz, that is the Isra Asay, learned out of Shiva Siyam Teichel Matzis. That's the sheet of the Mishnah Yankov, and he holds like that's out of Tosfos, that Chometz Noiksha is at least a Rabbana is at least a Raisa, even though it's not a Malkus. Kerenir says that I disagree with my brother on this point, and he says, in my opinion, the Ikar is like the Tzad and Taisis, that Chometz Noik is only the Rabbanon. If it's not a true Chometz, not a Chometz Gomer, then on Pesach it's only the Rabbanon. He says, this that my brother made this new drasha of his, that Shiva Hashem Teuchel Matzis is a Isra saying, which asks anything which isn't a true Matzah, he says, I believe he could slog that up. Because the Tain is that since the Pasik says, in the Pasik of Shiva Hashem Teuchel Matzis, it opens with the word Lemur, Lemur, Vedav Hashem Moshe Lemur. So since it says Lemur, there's actually a Sugi Mesech Tepsachim that says an interesting thing, that whenever the Gemara, the Pasik says in the Chumash, Lemur, and we have an Isra say in the Parsha, the word Lemur ramps it up from the Isra say to being a Lav Gomor, because he dashed in the word Lemur to mean Lav Omor. And the Gemara says it in the name of Yehuda in Mesech Tepsachim, and that's why the Gemara says over there that Rabbi Yehuda held that if you eat a Korban Pesach when it's Ba'oid HaYoim, when it's still the day of the 14th, he didn't wait until the night time of the 15th of Nisan. It's the day of the 14th. You eat it sli. It was eaten in the richtig a proper way, but you ate it Ba'oid HaYoim, which is an Isra say. You have to eat it by nightfall and by Laila Hazer and not to eat it Ba'oid HaYoim. It's an Isra say. Rabbi Yehuda said that it's not just an Isra say because we ramp it up to being Galois say Gomor because the Pasuk opens over there with the word Lamer, and Lamer is Darshan Lav Omor. Zokt of them the Kerenayim. And since we're discussing over here also the Shita of Yehuda about Seir that considers a non-complete chometz or deficient chometz, a chometz noiksha to be not a malchus. It's a non-malchus. It's a ptur. So going into Yehuda, and if Mishnah Zengav would have been right with this drasha he invented, he came up with about Shiva Sem Teichel Matzis only matzah dafka as opposed to anything beyond matzah, even a deficient chometz. He'd be right about that and made it Israel say we'd have to be ramped up a lois as a gomer because it says lamer and we'd have to make that into a lav omer. And therefore, consequently, Karenir says that he, in his opinion, you could actually disprove the whole Mishnah Yanka from there. And he believes that the Iker is that Chometz Noiksha is only the Abonon. So, as we said before, as he said, it's very negated to know, like Rashi, like Toysis, according to Toysis Shita, of course, it follows that even if there's May Paris with Mayim and it was Nischametz, it would still say that it is only Isad Rabonon. One problem I have with Tosis, says the Kerenayah, is that I think that according to Tosis Shitta that we're talking about, that the May Paris alone, the fruit juice, the apple juice alone, would be garnished and wouldn't even be anything, and wouldn't even create any kind of a din chometz, but it was because it was mixed with the water, so therefore it's creating some sort of a chometz, which is a chometz noiksha. Says, if that is so, if Tosis would be right about this sugya, then why don't we apply the famous machloikas all of a shas about zeve ze goyrim osir, or zeve ze goyrim mutter, the Gemara in multiple places, and if it is or and elsewhere, the Gemara discusses this question. When you have two factors that go into contributing to create, to engender some sort of an outcome, either factor alone, let's say, couldn't do it, there's different cases, and together they accomplish it together, one of them is an Isser factor, one of them is not an Isser factor, it's called Zeve Zegoyrim, this one and that one together work to cause it, and it's a Machloikas in the Gemara throughout Shas, whether Zeve Zegoyrim is Osir or Mutter. So why didn't the Gemara bring down that Machloikas over here also, Zokta? Because what you're telling me, according to Toysis, is that the Meipers alone are really insufficient to generate any sort of a Chometz, and the Mayim is sufficient. So these two things work together and they were Goyrim, and maybe it should be Toloi in the Machloikis and the Shaila of Zeve Zegoyrim, Osir Mutter. The fact that the Gemara doesn't bring down the Shaila at all, he says, seems to me to indicate that we're talking about just one factor, let's say the May Paris, and the May Paris alone has sufficient to be able to generate this Chometz quality or Chometz Noiksha, and it's not a Zeve Zegoyrim. We mentioned before that the Rambam learns fundamentally like Tosis, which is to say, the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Chometz Matzah that if you make a dough on Pesach with May Paris alone, just fruit juice without any water at all, then the halacha is that it's mutter and it doesn't generate any Isser, apparently not even any Chometz Noiksha on Pesach. However, the Rambam goes on in the Sefer of that halacha in Hilchos Chometz Matzah in Perek Hei and says a surprising thing which they're going to grapple with. The Rambam's mavur over there that if you did put May Paris together with water into the dough, so it was fruit juice plus water, the Rambam says it becomes chometz. And the Rambam is meduyik, and many are going to make this diyik, that it doesn't become just a low-level deficient chometz noiksha, which is not what the Rambam says, but rather it's mavur from the Rambam that becomes apparently a chometz gomer. And they're going to say that according to the Rambam, if you have a dough which was fermented with fruit juice plus water on Pesach, you would get kars for that because it's a chometz gomer. The Rambam does not appear to have any kind of middle madreig at all in the case of the fruit juice. Thus haste again, that if it's fruit juice alone without water, then it's mutter according to the Rambam, and if it's fruit juice together with the water, then it becomes Chometz Gomer. Now, Be'emes, the Kerenir writes that, how did the Rambam learn our Gemara? If the Rambam would have learned that our Gemara is talking about a case where there was fruit juice together with water, the Gemara will never work. From beginning to end, the Gemara won't work. The Gemara is Mavur, really, that according to the Tanakhama for sure, which is the Ikershita, the case of this Gemara does not become Chometz. If it's talking about fruit juice together with water, then Kohen's Rambam does become chametz. So that's not the case. Elamai, we're talking about that the case of the Gemara must have been according to the Rambam, that it was fruit juice alone without any water. According to the Tanakama, that case is not chametz, and you can't use the fruit juice together with the dough to make shtei lechem, or to make the lechem to lachmei toida, because it's not sufficiently mechametz. What is the Hillel Gamliel going to hold, though? He apparently holds that mepairs are machmitzin, which would be, according to the Rambam, means that Hillel Gamliel is fundamentally different from the way we pass on halacha. I mean, we pass on halacha, mepairs are mutter gomer on Pesach. Hillel Gamliel holds, however, that they mamash make into a chometz, machmitzin, they make into a chometz gomer. Kainir says that actually, in the sugi, there's a sugi in Mesech the Pesachim, which is Meduik, the Rambam Gamliel, which is Hillel Gamliel's father, that he also appears to have held the same way, that mepairs are machmitzin on Pesach and make a chometz gomer. Therefore, consequently, it's not surprising that we hold like his father, Rambam Gamliel. We don't hold like any of that. We hold like the Tanakama, and we hold the Meperis alone, and not Machmitzim, and it's Mutter and Pesach, that the Rambam learns, even though Rambam Gamliel will disagree and hold like his father, Rambam Gamliel and Psachim, and hold that it makes a Chometz Gomer. What's very, very difficult, and many Achorinim ask this Kasha on the Rambam, is that how the Rambam learned the next part of the Gemara, which seems to be more against him. Because the Gemara, as we said, brings down the Mishnah in Shumas about an apple that you crushed it. You crushed it and put it into the dough, and the apple of Trumah fermented the dough, and the halach over there is that it's asura, and the Gemara first says, well, maybe it goes Zafka L'chamlion Lil, who holds that that's a choshiva element of Mechameitz fermentation that the apple is providing, and L'chamlion holds that apples are Mechameitz, but it says, no, it could go even like the Rabbanon, because even though it's not a Chometz Gomor, it's Noik Shemayahavi, it makes a deficient level of Chometz, but it's some level of Chometz which is sufficient to asur the dough that the apple fermented, the apple of Trumah fermented. Well, how did Rambam learn this way? It's not going to learn this to get at all, because the Gemara is mavur that the case of this Gemara, which is apparently apple juice alone, according to the Rambam, it makes a chometz noiksha. Chometz noiksha we know is asr on Pesach. It's either the rice or it's a bana, but it's surely asr. And how could it be that the Rambam is paskining the halacha that the apple juice alone on Pesach is mamash mutter? To say, to put into a nutshell, the Rambam really doesn't have any mockum at all for this Gemara at all, since the Rambam paskins the opposite, the two extremes without paskin anything in the middle. The Rambam paskins that if you have a dough that was fermented with fruit juice alone, it's totally mutter on Pesach. If you have a dough which was fermented with fruit juice together with water, it's totally chometz gomer on Pesach. And he leaves no room for anything in the middle, for this in-between deficient chometz, the chometz noiksha, which is not chometz gomer, it's not kores, but it does have some level of iser. The Rambam Gemara seems to mavura that there's some case of this Gemara with the May Peiros that is a Chometz Noiksha, an intermediate level of Chometz, and how could it be that the Rambam totally leaves that out and doesn't even allow any room for it, since he holds that May Peiros alone is Mutter, and May Peiros with water is Chometz Gomer and is Chorus. This is the Kasha that a number of Achorinim ask. The Chofetz Chaim over here in the Likutei Halachos, which is an important sefer, as you know, the Chofetz Chaim wrote on Kochim, where he summarizes the Sugyas in the manner of the Rif, and he wrote the Zevach Toide, he wrote Perushim on the Likutei Halachos. So the Chofetz Chaim in the Zevach Toide over here has a Yesoidius Dikateris to explain the Shittat HaRambam. The Chofetz Chaim says that the Rambam argued on Kam before Shem in this Gemara that held that the word Chometz Noiksha in this Sugya, by the apples, the apple juice fermenting the dough, is the same concept as the Chometz Noiksha of Seir, the way that Toises and a number of Achoinim make the Tzushtel, and it's a deficient level of Chometz, which has a low level Isra and Pesach, even though it's not a chorus. Rambam disagreed. The Rambam held the Chometz Noiksha in Shas is used in two totally different contexts, which are not the same thing. In the Sugya of Seir, where we use the concept of Chometz Noiksha, over there we really do mean a deficient intermediate level of Chometz, which has some level of Isra and Pesach. However, that's not what the Gemara means here, says the Chofetz Chaim, according to the Rambam. And the Chometz Noiksha in this Gemara is actually a very low level of deficient Chometz, which is zero as far as Isra Chometz and Pesach goes, and doesn't Aser on Pesach Bechlal. So this Gemara is talking about fruit juice alone, it's pure fruit juice, the Rambam passing the Halacha, it's totally mutter to eat on Pesach, even though the Gemara here refers to it as Chometz Noiksha. Why? Because this Sugya, when in the context in which it calls the Chometz Noiksha, points out the Chofetz Chaim, is specifically in terms of a very different context, a very different idea than whether it's Chometz on Pesach and therefore also it's the Shem Chometz. Rather, what this Gemara is talking over here is the question of whether a small quantity of Isser that goes into a large Tarovis, a large admixture of Heter, whether it would Aser the mixture. And this actually, there's a ton of stuff on this in Yerideya, a tremendous amount on it in Mesechta Cholin and Mesechta Orla. There's all different sugyas about this question of Isser Asering Heter instead of a Tarovis. And one of the halachos is that if you have a Mechametz, Teruvis, which is to say that a very small quantity of Issa went into the Teruvis. Let's say the Issa is less than 60, and it would surely would be bottled. It would have been nullified according to the usual rules. But if the Issa is a quality of a Mechames, which means to say it has a discernible effect upon the Heter because it fermented it, it led to fermentation with Mechametz it, so therefore that's considered to be the equivalent of an Asinas Tam. That means it's noticeable. The effect of the Issa are noticeable in the Heter, either a discernible taste, or even, let's say in this case, not a discernible taste, but it's a discernible fermentation. So therefore, it left its imprint, the Issa left its imprint upon the Heter, and therefore the Issa asses the Heter in the manner of Nesinas Tam. Zotat in the Chavetz Chaim, that really we could easily hear, that even if the level of Chometz that's provided by a fruit juice when it goes into a dough is a very low level of Chometz in terms of Hilchas Chometz B'Pesach, and it would surely be insufficient to asser any level of Issa on Chometz B'Pesach, even the Rabbanon, Afal Pikein, it's still noticeable effect upon the dough, and it could still be done into an Nesinas Tam. It had a discernible impact, the Issa on the Heter, and therefore, consequently, in Hilchas Issa V'Heter, we could asser it because it's like an Nesinas Tam, and that's what the Gemara over here meant when it called a Chometz Noiksha, a deficient Chometz. What the Gemara was saying, according to the Rambam, says the Chavetz Chaim, is that the fruit juice that's going into the dough is not a Chometz Gomer, but it is a Chometz Noiksha, meaning in this context, it's not a Chometz at all with regard to Pesach, but it is a Chometz as far as having a discernible, noticeable impact to asser a taroves of admixture of Issa V'Heter. And therefore, there's a whole different sugya here of Chometz Noiksha here, which would have no impact whatsoever upon Hilchas Pesach, the Shem Chometz for Hilchas Pesach, but it would have a impact when it gets to the very specific question here about whether the Isser had a discernible effect upon the Heter, a noticeable fermentation, which it did, still noticeable, even though it's deficient, it's noticeable, and therefore the Isser would asser the Heter and the apples, the crushed apples of Truma that went into the dough of Heter, which had some fermentation effect upon the Heter, would therefore asser it to a Zor. That's how the Rambam would learn. The Chavetz Chaim adds that if you learn this mechudeshtik away that we just attributed to the Rambam, then we would be able to answer, according to the Rambam, a very strong kasha that the Rash asks in the Mishnah in Trumas, in this Mishnah in Trumas about a tapuach that you crushed into a dough. And the Rash asks this question, he asks it as a tmiya, he says it's a very, very big kasha. With this new derech, we'll be able to answer the kasha of the Rash. The Rash's kasha is on a din that actually Tosis over here, the Masa Tapuach, brings down from the Yushalmi, and that is that Tosis quotes that the Yushalmi brings down that even though the Mishnah says in Masech the Trumas that a crushed apple that went into the dough and fermented the dough a little bit, that it assers the heter, it assers the dough if the apple is truma, but the Yushalmi brings down that Tani Rabbi Yoisi Matir. The Rabbi Yoisi was Matir, Rabbi Yoisi did not hold that the effect a fermentation effect that the apple had on the dough was sufficient to acid the dough to give it a truma label, to acid it to Zoram. On that, the Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Yossi goes a shitosai. Interesting and remarkable Yerushalmi. Rabbi Yossi kedaite. He goes a shitosai. Why? Just like Rabbi Yossi holds a mesechta Shabbos. Ein tafshiloi borer. So too Rabbi Yossi holds over here a mesechta trumois. The ein chimutsoi borer. What does that mean? The Tosis explains that a mesechta Shabbos, there's a machloikas tanoim with regard to somebody who cooks on Shabbos but doesn't use a fire, he cooks by wrapping the food in warm blankets that have been heated in the sun, and this leads to a cooking process which is a sort of a deficient cooking process. It doesn't become totally cooked, doesn't become well cooked, but it's a deficient cooking process, warm blankets, yafkia besudrim, and the halacha over there is that you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos if you wrap it with these warm blankets, yafkiena besudrim, for Rabbi Yossi Matir. Rabbi Yossi, however, holds that that's not called bishul at all for Hilcha Shabbos, and therefore it's not also on Shabbos to wrap the food with the warm blankets and cook it in that manner. So just like the Yosi holds a Masechta Shabbos that ain't tafshila bor, in other words, that the deficient manner of cooking is not called a cooking and therefore not asir. So to Rabbi Yosi holds a Masechta Shumit, says the Yushalmi, that ain't chimutze bor, and therefore the very deficient chimutz process that the crushed apples have in terms of fermenting the dough is very deficient, and according to Rabbi Yosi, doesn't even asir the Isa. That is interesting, Yushalmi quoted by the Toises over here. The Rash also brings down this Yushalmi on that Mishnah, and the Rash says that he thinks that this thing is Tamua. Why? Zok the Rash, because this deficient level of Chometz that you get when you put the crushed apples into the dough is referred to in our Sugya as Chometz Noiksha, right? The Gemara says that everybody would call it at least a Chometz Noiksha, and since it's at least a Chometz Noiksha, so therefore we're going to say that, like the Gemara comes out here, even the Rabbanon Rechon Eliel would aser the Taruvis when the apples go into the Isa. If Frek the Rash, once the Gemara Gemara over here refers to it as Chometz Noiksha. If you look in Masechet Pesachim, you will find, Zokter, that Chometz Noiksha has some level of Issa. We mentioned before the other day about Seir, some Achoygas of Meir, some Rabbi Yehuda Shita, Rabbi Meir Shita, is the Seir is going to be Issa Dereis, with just no chorus? Is it going to be an Issa without any Malkus even, like the Rabbi Yehuda Shita? We discuss a different Shitas about Seir. Seir is considered to be Chometz Noiksha as well. It's also a deficient process of Chimutz, right? That's where the dough either got pale, like Rabbi Meir, or it got a lot of cracked, kind of chagovim like Rabbi Yehuda, but it's a deficient level of chometz. And everybody answers that on Pesach, there's not even a choluk on that in Masechta Pesachim. There's no one in Pesachim, says the Rash, that holds that Seir is got go has mutter. Totally mutter, even the Rabbanan, it's fine, it's mutter. We don't even consider it to be chometz b'chlal. Nobody says that. But according to the Yerushalmi, it's going to follow that Rabbi Yosi will hold that way, Zokter. Because the Yerushalmi is saying that Rabbi Yosi holds it's not even a chometz at all, and he doesn't believe in chometz, non-chometz borrowers being called a chometz, just like non-cooking gomers, cookings that are not gomer are not called cooking on Shabbos, so chimutzes that are not gomer are not called a cook, chimutz at all, and it ought to follow from there, and the gemara, even though the gemara kills it here, noiksha, it's still nothing and no problem according to the Yosi. Fine, so then it should be mutter on Pesach, it should be mutter on Pesach to eat the seir, the deficient level of chimutz, and nobody in Masechet Pesachim holds this way. Why would that be if Rabbi Yosi Lemaisa holds that chimutzes that are not borer are totally mutter, let him also, there should be a sheet in Pesachim that reflects that holds that about the beginnings of a chimutz, that holds it about seir. This is the Rashid Kasha. It's Zokta the Chovetz Chaim, that Tako, good Kasha. If you learn that the word Chometz Noiksha in our Sunya means the same as the word Chometz Noiksha that's applied to Seir on Pesach. In other words, that both of them are a deficient Chometz which have some level of Isra on Pesach. And that's how many Gedolim did learn. But as we said before, the Rambam did not learn that way. The Rambam held that when the Gemara here speaks of the fermentation of the May Peiris as a Chometz Noiksha, it actually means that it's zero. It's nothing whatsoever than a get to Pesach. This is a very deficient Chometz, and it's nothing. Rambam Taka Paskin is that way. That when you have the fruit juice in the dough, it's namish nothing at all. It doesn't answer. It's totally mutter on Pesach, and that's what Ram learned this to you that it was Peiris alone, and he still says mutter on Pesach. The word chometz noiksha in this Gemara was used in a very different sense according to the Rambam. It's just in terms of having a noticeable impact on answering an admixture, answering a teruvis, similar to the way Nesinas Tam having a noticeable taste, adding a noticeable taste to the mixture by means of the iser would answer a teruvis. So too, adding some sort of a noticeable fermentation, even if it's weak, would answer the teruvis as well. It has no impact whatsoever on Hilchas Pesachim, Hilchas Pesach, and therefore, according to Rambam, is very good and totally miyushiv. The Rash is kasha zokter. The Gemara over here, when it says Rabbi Yosi held that not a chimutz borer, was talking about a very low level of chimutz, which really is very low level and has no impact on Hilchas Pesach at all. He just holds, the Rabbi Yosi holds, that since it's so level, it's not called having a noticeable, discernible effect upon the taruvas in terms of assuming the admixture. That's what Rabbi Yosi is saying in the Yerushalmi, according to the Rambam. It's such a negligible impact in terms of the fermentation, it won't even answer the admixture when I crush my apples of truma into my dough. It's a very negligible effect. The B.A.C. holds that's not a chemitz bor, and I ignore the effect. I don't answer the taruvas. As far as Hilchas Pesach goes, however, this Gemara never said in the first place, according to the Rambam, that the fermentation effect that Meperis have is some sort of a level of chemitz noiksha with regard to Pesach. We never even said that in the first place. It's actually a very low level. And in a Chanami, if you're talking about a chemitz noiksha of Pesach, you're talking about a Seir, which is a true beginnings of a fermentation process. It started having small cracks and etc. There, Rabbi Yosi is maskim that that's a chosh of the beginning of a process, and Rabbi Yosi does not disagree, according to the Havana we're going with now. Rabbi Yosi will agree that that chometz noiksha is really a true chometz noiksha and will in fact be aser even on Pesach. One last nekuda over here in this sugya, the Kerenoira, and this sugya asks another kasha, which he says he's very puzzled by, a big kasha. The Kerenoira asks, let's say we go with Toysis Shittas, right? So Toysis learns the sugya that we're talking about that the May Peiris was mixed with Mayim, and I had a mixture of May Peiris with Mayim, and we're coming out that even though it wasn't May Peiris alone, it had an added effect on the fermentation, the fact that it was mixed with water. And Alpha Pekain, it's only called a Chometz Noiksha, according to the Banan who we paskin like. It's not a Chometz Gomor, and it's a kind of deficient level of Chometz, which, for example, would be insufficient to mechametz the loaves with regard to the shtei lechem and shvuos, or with regard to lachmei toide. The fact of them, the Keren Oira, that according to that, it's going to be very hard to understand, to answer a very, very basic question. We know, we discussed this yesterday, that there's a loisa saying the chumash with regard to baking good carbon minchas in the manner of a chometz, the loisa yofa chometz, where it says loisa yosa chometz, you're not allowed to bake the carbon minchas in the manner of a chometz. Now, as we discussed yesterday, there's actually an intermediate level as well with regard to the making the loaves of the mincha. Actually, even if it's not chometz gomur, but it's a seir, afal pikein, we still come out that since it's not called matzah, and you need a shem matzah for the loaves of the mincha, so you will be over on this halacha of matzah, and emela, you would not be able to make even a seir, the beginnings of a chimutz, with your mincha loaves. However, to be over on the loisa say gomur of loisa of a chometz, you have to make it into a so-called chometz gomur. It has to be a true chometz. The fact of them, the kerenoyah, elachar, it's not mashkachas law to do that, according to Toisis, by any standard carbon mincha, because the carbon mincha, all the standard carbon minchas all have shemen in them. Now, Lamayis, as he mentioned yesterday, the sugya on the Fnun Zayin comes out that there's shemen together with mayim in the menachis. The pasuk only mentions shemen explicitly, that you mix shemen into the mincha, you do blila, the flour with the shemen, but Chazal tell us, the Gemara says on the Zayin, that in order to make a proper dough, you have to add oil, water into it as well. So you have mayim together with shemen in the dough. Now, this mayim together with the shemen, if you leave it to rise and you make it into a manner of chometz, you're apparently over on loisiyos chometz. But effective in the kerenoyer, that should not be true according to Tosis, because no matter how long you leave it and no matter how much chometz it becomes, the yoyis said it was made peiris together with the mayim, because that's shemen. Shemen is a made peiris. Shemen together with the mayim is made peiris together with the mayim, and therefore it can't become a chometz gomer. The most it could become would be a chometz noiksha, according to what we paskin in our Gemara, like the Rabbanon. It's a chometz noiksha miyahavi, and therefore, granted that it would taka be possible for carbon mincha kapashtus, because it's chometz noiksha. If you learn kipshutai, chometz noiksha is enough, this level of deficient chometz enough to pass for a mincha, that's because it doesn't have a shem matzah. But to be over on the loisa say gomor, loisa yofa chometz, has to be able to be chometz gomor, and that's mamish impossible to have that zokter, according to the taisis, because according to taisis, it never becomes a chometz gomor. According to the Abundance. How is the Meshkachas of the Loises? This is the Kasha. The Menchas of Rom over here is Mefalpo, then again to saying a Teretz. He says a Teretz, he says this Teretz actually might depend on a Shiloh in the Rishonim. Menchas of Rom writes that Be'etzim, technically, you can really get around this question by simply saying that although it's necessary for a Karban Mincha to have both water mixed into the dough and also oil, Shemen mixed into the dough, but what was the sequence, Zokter? What happens if I first mix the oil into the dough and leave it to rise a bit, and leave it to rise, and then afterwards I mix the Shemen into the dough? Is there any problem? Enachanami, some soif, the final product has soy left in it, and it has water, and it has mayim, and it has shem, and it has all the ingredients, so it's a proper ingredient for the carbon mincha. But I first put the water in without the shemen, I actually let it rise with the schametz, with the water alone, and then I put the shemen afterwards. The zokter, in terms of the ingredients, I have all the right ingredients, and that would have been fine, it would have been the ingredients of a carbon mincha, except the mayim, I was mechametz it. But this chametz that I did, that I brought about, was actually achieved with mayim alone, because I was mechametz it, I left it to rise before I put the shemen in. So therefore, you could get around the Kerenarius Kasha, and you could say that that's the case of the Loisa say Gomer according to Taisis. The case was simply that I mixed it with Mayim first, it was boiler with Mayim first, and made a dough out of the Mayim alone, and then only after that I mixed in the shemen afterwards, after it was already Chometz Gomer, and the mayo that way, you get around the problem, and you could say that that would be a Chometz Gomer, even according to Taisis. That's the Mechot Avram. He says, however, he says, and he brings a considerable Bekias on this in Loshenus of Rishonim, he says, there seems to be steeredic or contradictory expressions in the Rishonim in the different parts of the Masechta, then it gets to whether it's a hechruch to put the shemen in first before you put in the water. And this is a very interesting issue. I mean, obviously, as he mentioned, the pasuk only mentions putting a shemen into the flour of the mincha. It doesn't even mention if you're putting in water. We figured out on our own that in order to make a proper dough, you have to have water as well. So he brings down over there in the Menchas Avram that Toisvis and Masechta Daf Peizayin, in this Masechta, that Toisvis actually is mavur that koydom. Lisha tzorach livla kisha hu soilus. An interesting thing that Taisa says, in other words, that you have to mix the oil directly into the soilus. The din is to, in other words, if I wait until after the water is in there, basically I'm mixing oil into a dough. That's actually insufficient, according to what Taisa says in Peizayin. You have to dafka mix oil into the soilus. So there has to be no water in there yet. You mix the oil shemen in first, and only after that you mix in the water, if you like that Taisa, like the Mechaz Avram, you lose the teretz, because it's anyhow possible to make a carbon mincha in the manner of water first and then shemen, because as we said, the Seder is Dafka, shemen first and then soilus. However, the Mechaz Avram writes that interestingly, there's a toisis, a different toisis in the same Esech, the toisis on Samach Zayin and Beith, that toisis actually is mavur fakeret. Remarkably enough, the toisis seems to say over there that the standard carbon mincha is losh bepoishin v'choyzim and oisin shemen. That's the place of losh over there. That you losh bepoishin, you knead the flour together with lukewarm water, and then choyzer afterwards v'noisin shemen. So that toisis is steered to the other toisis on Pei Zayin. Over there, it's actually mavur, they would mix the lukewarm water first into the dough. And and only afterwards mix in the shemen. Likewise, Zokta, the Rashi Ksav Yad, later on Ayin Dalad, as you'll see when you get the Rashi Ksav Yad, it's actually printed on the page of the Vilna Shas. They have a separate Rashi, Rashi Ksav Yad, on the bottom of the page, and the Rashi from manuscript, the Rashi Ksav Yad, and Ayin Dalad of the base is also Mavur over there, that if you do the Elisha with water before the Blila with the oil. In other words, the Elisha oil is, water is mixed in first into the flour, and after that you mix in the oil. According to these Rishayim, Zatim Achzavron, we'll be talking to say this Teretz, that you could say that first you mix in the water and you made it into a chometz gomor, and after it's a chometz gomor with water alone, after that the case was, then you mixed in the oil, and in such a case, it would be over on a loisei gomor of loisei of a chometz. It's interesting that if you look on Loshna Kerenayir inside, where he asked the Kasha, it's actually Mavur that although he doesn't bring the Rishayim, he assumed as a given that the oil has to be mixed directly into the flour, and really based on that he asked his Kasha. In other words, the Kerenayir, at least Bavor into discussion, although he doesn't bring these Maramaklemis and the Rishayim, and the Kerenayir writes, he accepts as a given that the oil is mixed directly into the flour, and then you mix in the water, and based on that he says that the oil is there first, so therefore there's no way for the water to impact alone and ferment alone on the dough, because you have the oil already there, and that's why, based on that, he asks his Kasha, al-pidar koi, according to his understanding, that he's asking that according to Tosis it's shver, because there's never any way to have a chometz gomor, that Yosef Tosis holds in our suya, that the May period with Mayim never makes a chometz gomor, it only makes a chometz noiksha. The Gemara goes on, and it brings down a machloikis amiroim in how to understand a Mishnah in Masechta Uktzin. The Mishnah in Uktzin talks about a bosar egel shenitpach, which is a meat of a young calf which got swollen, the pashtus in the press of cooking, like the Mephoshim say, and that's the derech, that the meat of the young calf absorbs the water and gets swollen in the press of cooking, or it was a bus of a kinesh and a smach, that's the reverse process, it was an elderly a bull or a cow, and that meat from the elderly cow, if you cook it, it apparently shrivels up, so it went up from the original status, it got swollen, or it went smaller than the original status, it shrunk, and we have a Mishnah that says, Meshtayin l'kamoiz shehein, which is a subject of a big machloikas amaroim between Rabbi Yochanan together with some other amaroim against Rish Lakish, likewise together with some other amaroim on his side. And I don't understand what that means. Originally, the Gemara understands this in a simpler manner, what the amaroim are arguing about, and the Gemara originally understands that Rabbi Yochanan with his team of Amiroim understand that we look at the present volume and ignore anything about what was smaller or bigger in the past. And this is Negeya to transmitting Tumah, because as we know, Tumah could only be transmitted by a food which has a shear, the size of a kibbutz, the size of an egg. We look at the present, according to Rabbi Yochanan and his other Amiroim, and if the present time is a kibbutz, I say it transmits Tumah. If it's not a kibbutz, it doesn't transmit the Tumah, regardless of what it was like before you started cooking, that's Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish, together with the other Amiroim and his son, they look at the past. The way the Bach is greater than the Gemara, they look at the Kamoish Shahoyu, you look at what it was. If it was a Kibbeitza, you ignore the fact that it presently shriveled. If it was not a Kibbeitza, you ignore the fact that it presently is larger. And then the Gemara starts, and after a bit of a Shaklavataria with Raya back and forth, the Gemara comes out that we fall off from this, and we actually can't learn this way. So we have to relearn the way that the Amaroim understood this Mishnah in Masechta Uktzin and what they're arguing about. The Gemara says, at some soif, that actually if it was originally large and then it shrank in the press of cooking, everybody would hold it. It's now too small and it no longer transmits tumah of less than a kibbeitza. If, on the other hand, it was originally small and it got swollen to the size of more than a kibbeitza, then it actually is mitahamei midrabbanan, etz adin drabbanan. And if it originally was large and then it shrank and then it absorbed more water and it swollen and grew once again back to the original size of the kibbeitza, this is a somewhat more complex case where the Amaroim will argue about it. In other words, again, so the case of the Mishnah, and Rashi speaks this out, the Mishnah in Uktzin is not understood kipshutai in the simple sense anymore, but it's understood in a more complicated manner, and when it says that the basar egel swollen or that the basar zekena shrank, these are various stages in the cooking process, but Rashi is mavur on top of the omid beis that really we're talking about in both cases that it got shrunk and then it got swollen once again. It grew back to the original size, but it did go through an interim stage in the middle when it was less than the requisite size of a kibbeitza, and that interim stage was not able to be metame. And the question that the Amaroim are arguing about, says the Gemara, is in a new sugya, a new question called Yesh Dichoy Beisurin, or do we say Ein Dichoy Beisurin? Dichoy is the notion that we have in different places in Shas that if a din is, so to speak, pushed away from a particular entity for a Davis a certain time period, then it no longer devolves, no longer is chal back upon that entity, subsequently, even though the qualifications come back. So it was dochu, it was pushed away during a certain time period, those dinim don't come back. In the case over here, yesh dichur b'isurim, you have the question about whether this piece of meat is able to be a metame, given the fact that it went through a time period in the middle when it was too small, less than the requisite size, in this case of a kibetza, like Rashi says, and no longer, not able to metame at that point, and perhaps now it's swollen back up once again, it's still not able to be a metame because it's dochui from the isurim, and not it was pushed away from being, have the quality of being metame, and if I just look upon it as, like, so to speak, artificially swollen piece of meat, but intrinsically I look upon it still with the small size that it had in the interim stage. That's what we hold yesh deichu b'isurim, that's for Rish Lakish Hashita and Rish Lakish and the ones Merim with him, and therefore they hold it's not metame, and they look at the past, so to speak, which means to say they look at the interim size when it was disqualified. As opposed to Rabbi Yochanan de'imei, they look at the present time, and they ignore the fact that it went through an interim stage when it was too small to make a difference to them, ain dichu b'isurim, and therefore it presently is going to be metame because it right now has the requisite size. The Gemara actually comes out in Maskanas HaGemara that we slog up the mandama yesh dichu b'isurim, which would be Rish Lakish. We actually paskin like a b'yechon that holds that ain dichu b'isurim, and it actually is metame because at the present time it swelled back up to the requisite size. The Rambam paskins this thing. The Rambam gives various cases, different sizes of meat and things that are Tami at different sizes. The Rambam gives a case of in Hilchos Tumas, Kezias and a Nevela. A Nevela, as you know, is Metami with the size of a Kezias. The Rambam gives that case the size of an olive, or Kadashim and Hasheretz, which is likewise Shrotzim, a Metami with the size of a Adash, the size of a lentil. And let's say, says the Rambam, that these were some Kuvachosru. So they shriveled up and they lost some of their size, and at that point they're Torah. But what happens if they subsequently are Tofchu and Umdu on the Kashir? They actually swell back up and they get back to the original Shir. So if they regain the original shear that they had originally had, that's metame kishahoyu din toyer, the metame that they were as a d'iraisa de gedith. Ram is passing this din of the ein dichoy b'isurin. The Kesef Mishnah over there brings an akasha from the Mahari Korkus. The Mahari Korkus felt that this psak, which we're passing based on the maskana of our Gemara, which is that ein dichu b'isurim, we don't look at the pushed aside status that it had in the interim, with the right now it requalifies once again with the right size and it's metame. So that is a stira, perhaps, says the Mahari Korkus, to a different sugya Masechta Shabbos, and also ogepaskind in the halacha and the Rambam in the Yad in Hilchos Shabbos. And over here in Masechta Shabbos and in Hilchos Shabbos and the Rambam, the shaila comes up regarding a person that's carrying a piece of food out on Shabbos, and as the Gemara explains clearly in Masechta Shabbos, foods are chayav or hitzah when you carry them out onto the Rishon on Shabbos if they are at this requisite size of a kegroigris, the size of a large dried fig, and if it has that size, then it's the proper shear to mechayav on Shabbos. Now, what happens if the Gemara clears and the Rambam talks, what happens if the person made a hitzah? Now, in order to be chayav on Shabbos, of course, you have to do the akira, you have to do the hitzah, and you have to put it down. So what happens if in the interim, in the middle, he started the Maisa Hitzah, he began the Hitzah, the act of taking it out into the highway, it actually was the requisite size of a Gregris, and it shrunk in the interim stage. It could be a bit of time, you know, while he's carrying it out and before he puts it down. So in the interim time period, in the middle of the Hitzah, it shrank to less than the size of a Gregris, and then it's Chosav Etofcha, and then it swelled back up once again before the Hanocha. So the Gemara has a suffix about this in the Sugya. The Gemara actually comes out with a suffix. Do we say that since in the middle of the activity of the Maisa Hitzah, it had shrunk in the middle, it was less than the size of a Gregris, so therefore you can't be chayev, even though by the time it was done, by the time you made your Maisa Hanocha and put it down, it had already regained the stage, the size of a Gregris. Do I say that that's mechayev you, or do I say that no, it can't be chayev, because in the middle it was lacking the requisite size of a Gregris? It's a suffix in the Gemara. The Rambam paskins lahalach and the Chashabbat said it is a suffix. Haray is a suffix, the Rambam says, im nitcha or loy nitcha, that's Hamash Loshna Rambam, is it pushed aside from being chayev because of the lack of volume during the interim stage in the middle, or do I say it's not pushed aside? But they were actually paskening lahalacha that it's a safek if there's a dichoy regarding the Isra of Shabbos to be chayev for the Isra of Shabbos, and that's the Mahari Korkus Astira that over here we're paskening that it's a vade that there is no dichoy b'isurim, certainly no dichoy and isurim, and the piece of meat regains the original volume, whatever the volume is, depending on the case, and it's going to be metame 100%, even if it went through a disqualification in the interim stage, it was too small. Masha'en kein. the Hilchos Shabbos, I consider that a safek. I pass him it's a safek whether it's dichoy or not on the piece of food that was taken out. In the middle of being taken, in the middle of the process, it shrank and it regained the size, and it's a safek. So what's the difference? So the kind of Mishnah brings from the Rekork is that the answer to that question is that the two cases are not the same. A fairly straightforward explanation, actually, that he says that over there in Masechta Shabbos, I actually had that right smack in the middle of the Maisoid saw itself. Now, the entirety of the Maisoid saw is the Mechayev, and right smack in the middle of the Maisoid saw, in the middle of taking it out, during that act of the Mechayev, it actually shrank down to its less than its size and then regained the status. So perhaps I could say that there's a hefsek, an interruption between the various elements of the Mechayev of the Hoitzoy. You have to have Akira, a lifting up from the original Rishus, you have to have Hanocha placing a new Rishus, and here I have hefsek, an interruption, because it was interrupted by having less than the requisite size in the middle. Therefore, consequently, over there, I'm a sopag, and it might be it's pushed aside, pushed off from being able to be a Mechayev of Shabbos. Now, Sheinkan over here, we're not talking about a case like that at all, says the Kesem Mishnah from the Rekorkus. Over here, you're not touching it until it regains the original size, and you want to know whether it became Tomei from it. And the answer to that is that I ignore the disqualified state that it had been in between, because right now, by the time I'm doing the touching, it totally regained that original volume, the requisite volume, and therefore I am going to be Tomei. So that's the big difference. In other words, the bottom line over there in Hilchos Shabbos, in middle of the Maisa HaMechayev, during the middle of the Maisa HaMechayev itself, it had lost the requisite size, and therefore I might have a hefzik between the elements of the Mechayev. That's the only case, but I'm a supik, and maybe I'll say, yes, the Yichibisur. That's because the Mishnah's teretz from the Rekorkus. Some Achorainim consider this teretz to be a doichik, and therefore we do have a couple of suggestions how to get around this problem in other ways. Now, the Kerenayu deals with this question by raising a very fundamental shayla on this sugya, which is dealt with in Achorainim, and that is whether the question of dichoy in this sugya is really negayah to the subject of dichoy in the whole Shas. Now, just taking a moment on this, dichoy is an algemeine, kind of ubiquitous subject that's found in Shas in a number of places. Fundamentally, we certainly have it when you get to Kutchim and a whole bunch of Mekoymois in Masechta Kedushin, and in other places, in Yuma, other places, we had the Gemara speaks about where the Kutchim is dochoy. The shayla over there is, I have a korban or I have dam of a korban. There's all different cases that became disqualified from being a korban during some interim stage and then gets requalified. And the question is, since the korban was disqualified during some interim time period, does it remain disqualified? Is it dochoy or not? Likewise, it's like a dichoy mitzvah. That's in Masechta Sukkah in Perek Lulav HaGozel. You have a case of a hadas that had a lot of berries and then the berries came off during Yontif. So perhaps since it was disqualified during the first part of the Yontif, because it was dochoy, it had too many berries, it was not qualified, so it remains dochoy, and that's if I hold of this thing called dichoy b'mitzvahs. Over there, in all those cases, the issue over there is that it was disqualified during some time period, and therefore the question is, does it become requalified? The Kerenayu writes that in his opinion, that is not what the Gemara is considering over here, even though it happens to use language that the words happen to be the same. It's a homologue, it has the same words, dichoy b'isurim, but he says in his opinion, that is not what the Gemara is considering over here. The Kerenayu says that in his opinion, when meat shrinks and when meat swells and the like, we are not really talking about qualified and disqualified, because over there it's simply a question. The meat is the same meat, but some it has all the requisite dinim. It just happens to be to not have the right size. So either it has the right size or matame, it doesn't have the right size or not matame. So out there you could say a svara, which the Gemara attributes to Rish Lakish, you could say that svara, that since it lost the size, so it inherently lost the chashivas, and even if it regains the swelling later on, that's considered to be a kind of external swelling. It's just some kind of whatever external factors, but it's considered intrinsically to have the size that it originally had, and it's not considered to have increased its chashivus just because it swelled up. So it lost the chashivus during the period of small size and doesn't get back the chashivus later, and that's what Rish Lakish held. Now, we don't hold like Rish Lakish. We disagree with him. But we that disagree with him is not necessarily because we hold fundamentally that it can't be dichoy on any isurim. It's because we're treating the sugya of dichoy in the manner of disqualified kodshim or the like. We simply hold, Zokter, we, Rav Yochanan and the others that hold that there's no dichoy in this case of this sugya, is because they hold that this thing was too small and then it became big enough. In other words, be'etzem, the meat has all the qualities. It's just a question of what size it is. If it's small, it's not metame. It's big, it is metame. That's not an issue of a disqualification. It's not a question of being disqualified or being possible in some manner. It's simply that if it's not big enough, then there's exerts a cost. If it's not metame, it used to be not big enough and now it is big enough. It's not a question of a disqualification in any way, shape, or form. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan simply holds that this is not a case of dichoy. And Rabbi Yochanan says, "In dichoy b'isurim, it's just a loshen b'alma." What it really means, as far as this sugya goes, is that earlier it lacked a size and therefore couldn't be matame. Now it has a size and therefore could be matame. But lacking a size is not a disqualification. It just happens to be. It's just b'mikra it's too small, and now that it happens to be bigger, it's able to be. Matame, this is not an issue according to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that it was disqualified in the beginning and came qualified. That is the Kerenir. The Kerenir writes that according to his understanding, we can answer the question of the Marie Corcus, because he is, interestingly enough, he actually says that although these Zinim of size, not being called disqualifications, are true about this Gemara, it's actually not true about the Sugya and Shabbos, because in the Sugya and Shabbos, I'm looking at an active Chiyuv at every step of the game. In other words, over there, I started by Maisa HaMachayev. I started to carry out the Hoitzah on the Kegregus food, and I want to know at every stage, is this act being actively Machayev me? Is it an act of Machayev at every step? And if it loses the volume, the Gregus volume, to be the act of Machayev, that's called disqualified from actively being Machayev me. And Mela, since it was disqualified from actively being Machayev me, so even though it grew and swelled up once again, the size of a Gregus, by the time it was done, still it actually had an actual disqualification in the middle. So in other words, the Kerenir, a little bit of a tricky explanation there, where he says that Be'epsem, lacking the requisite size, is not called a disqualification. It just happens to be not big enough, and it regains the size, so now it happens to be big enough, and therefore, it's just not a true dichoy, and that's what our sugi is saying, we pass like a birchana. But over there, where I'm looking at an active process, an active maisoid soul, which is supposed to be actively being mechayev me at every step, and it was unable to be actively mechayev me in the interim stage, so therefore that is a true question of disqualification, a true question of dichoy, because the maisa was not qualified in the middle of the maisa to be mechayev me, and therefore that's a true shail of dichoy. That's why in that sugi they were considered to be a safek of this dichoy be isurim, because maybe with a true dichoy, we would actually say that there is a dichoy. This is the Kerenoya, and it's really based on his understanding, in other words, that if I hold yesh dichoy in this sugi, like Rosh Lakish, I'm not really applying the algemeine ubiquitous sugya of dichoy that's in the rest of Shas. Rather, I'm just saying when a food shrinks and loses its chashivas, as far as tumah goes, it can't regain the chashivas later on, which is not really the sugya of dichoy. Now, be'etzem is that you really, the Achronim point out, that they're all gedolim that did not, definitely not hold like that. And they did apply our sugya shteltzu, our sugya to the regular sugya of dichoy. Aside from the fact that Keth Mishnah, the Rikurkos, seem to have assumed that it's all one big question of dichoy. But the truth is, the mechas chinuch over here, it's in the Musach HaShabbos on the Toichem, but he goes in the sugya over here, and the Mechas Chinuch notes that Geveintlich, usually in the sugya of Dichoy, the halacha is that Kol Shebiyodoy Loi Havi Dochoy. That's what the Gemara says in Sukkah Lamed Vav. The Gemara says in Masech Tesukkah that there is a rule that anything which in the disqualified state I had the ability biyodoy in my hands at any point in time to fix the thing, to make it back in shape. So if at any point in time I can make it qualified, it's biyodoy, that's not called dochoy, it's not called disqualified. And Meila, the Mechas Chinuch asked the question over here that in our sugya, where it was lacking the requisite size, what's the case? Are we talking about a case where I could cook a lot of water and the water would come back in and it would be able to be swelled up once again? Is it biyodoy at any time to do that? Because it's biyodoy to re-swell it, then it shouldn't apply the sugya of dichoy at all. And therefore the Mechas Chinuch says, we must say, that the case over here was that it's not biyodoy to cook a lot of water and to re-swell it. And apparently, it's something which it happens to be later on it did get re-swollen by happenstance, that by the circumstances, the criteria were met later on at some point, but be'etzem it's not biyodcha to regrow, to re-swell it, and that's why we apply dichoy according to Rish Lakish. So Minchas Chinuch is definitely in the head here, really specifically understanding that the sugya of dichoy here, according to Rish Lakish, who applies it, is the same sugya as dichoy as you have by mitzvah, is dichoy mitzvahs, and dichoy by kochim, it's the same dichoy and the same rules of dichoy that you have in the rest of Shas. The Goyin, it happens to be the Goyin of Shulchan Aruch, and the Be'er Gro in Shulchan Aruch, writes that he would answer the Marie Corcus' question with a completely different yesoid, which is almost incomprehensible, very, very, very cryptic statement of the Vilna Goyin. Kedarko, he's actually very makatsev, and he writes very, very cryptically. And the Brisker Rav over here in the Shiurim on Masechta Menachos says an explanation of this Vilna Goyin. Let's first say the very, very cryptic and terse statement of the Goyin, and then we'll say what the Brisker Rav says to explain it. The Goyin writes that Be'etzem, in his opinion, it's really very shver to accept that this Gemara is saying a Shas rule that is never dichoy by Isurim. The Goyin writes that he has rayas from other places in Shas that we really could say, and we do say dichoy by Isurim, and it's really very schwer to say that there's some kind of a maskonas hasugi over here that we're coming at in some ubiquitous manner that we never say dichoy by Isurim. So the Goyin says it's very much in our interest to really narrow down the discussion over here that's very specific to the case at hand of the swollen meat and doesn't apply elsewhere. How do we do that, Sotah Goyin? The Goyin says very quickly, cryptically that Rish Lakish, who looks at the past, so he's going to hold, like the Gemara says in Banu Hamad Aleph, that if let's say the meat started at less than the requisite size of a kibetza or whatever it is, it started at small, and then it got swelled up to the requisite size of a kibetza, for example. The Gemara says on that in Banu Hamad Aleph that that's only drabana, that it's metame. Since it started at less than the requisite size, so therefore even though now that it has the shear of a kibetza, it's only drabana. So Rish Lakish, who looks at the past, he's also going to say, Zot Goin, that if it started at a kibetza, but then shrank and then re-swelled, so he's going to say that became dochli, because he looks at the past. Masha Enkeng Zokter, we paskan like Rabbi Yochanan, and we hold Zot Goin like Rabbi Yochanan, we don't look at the past. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan is going to hold Zokter, let's say the piece of meat started at too small. It wasn't that it went down and then back up. It started at small. It started at less than the size of a kibetza, and then it swelled up to the size of a kibetza. Rabbi Yochanan, that the Goyin is going to disagree with the Gemara, but the Gemara asserts on bottom of the Yoma that that's only the Rabbana that is Matame. He'll actually hold that it's the Raisa, because Rabbi Yochanan looks at the present and not at the past, and therefore he's going to hold that if the piece of meat started as small and then grew, so it's Matame, because it has the requisite size now, and we ignore the fact that it was too small. So Zok the Goyin, Rabbi Yochanan will also, since he doesn't look at the past, he's also going to hold that if it started out large and then shrank and then regrew, he'll hold that that's not a case of Dichoy, and the whole question of Dichoy doesn't come up because Rabbi Yochanan ignores the past and doesn't look at all those interim stages that it went through. He just looks at the now stage, the present stage. Presently it's big, that's it. That's sufficient to say that it's qualified and is metame the Eraisa. So, in a nutshell, what the Goyin is doing is saying that Rabbi Yochanan really holds over here that there is no application to the Sugya of Dichoy because Rabbi Yochanan doesn't look at the past. Like you see, the way I understand it, Zot the Goyin, that Rabbi Yochanan is going to hold that if it started out small and then grew, then it's Metame Dairaisa, because Rabbi Yochanan ignores the past. The Biskarov says, this is a Zach from the Goyin, that he says very, very bekitzer, and really on the face of it, we don't know how to understand it. We really need to think about it to properly understand it. I mean, Zachter Biskarov, the fact of the matter is that this piece of meat went through a stage when it was Roy to Metame, it was large originally, it was the size of a kibetza, it had been able to Metame. Then it went through a smaller size when it shrank and no longer to Metame, then it regrew back to this, was swelled up back to the big size. So why not apply Dichoy to a case like that? What does Rabbi Yochanan have some kind of magic rule that he ignores the past and doesn't look at the fact that it was disqualified in the middle? Why can't he look at it, at least insofar as saying that it did go through that disqualified stage in the middle and therefore should be dachoy? What does the Goyin mean? Zoktav then the Briskerov, that we have here an interesting idea which really needs some hisboinness, some thought. The Vilna Goyin held, what he's telling you is, Zokter, that we only apply Dichoy when in order to give the piece of meat or whatever we were taught with this entity, its requisite qualifications to generate a particular din, you have to look at the earlier status as it continues and reaches the point of the present. If I'm forced to look at the earlier stage and how it was mamshich and continued on till the point where it hit the present, then if I have to look at that, then I look at this qualification in the middle and I say dochoy. Now, for example, I'm just adding, let's say for carbonus, for example, let's say the Gemara talks in a case of Yuma, I have dam in the pail, you know, and it becomes disqualified, and I get requalified, there's a case like that in Masechta Yuma. So over there, obviously, you have to look at the past. I mean, if I just look at blood in the pail, it's not going to be a good carbon. You have to look at the fact that this was a behemoth, it was kedosha, I did a voidus on it, I did a shchita, etc. And it reached the stage that it's dam in the seifel, and I'm able to do his rikum. So over there, for Shteitzach, I have to look at the past. It goes without saying. And if I hold of Dichoy, and if I apply Dichoy to the case over there, so the dam became disqualified in the middle and doesn't get requalified later on. However, Zokter Briskerov, over here is different, because over here, I have a piece of Oichlem Tmeim, or I have a piece in the veil, in the Rambam's case, whatever it is exactly, that the Briskerov, Rabbi Yochanan holds that I don't look at the past, I actually ignore the past. Even if it originally was less than the size of a kibetza, or size of a kizayas, whatever the case was, and it really originally did not have the requisite value to metame, I ignore all that and say if it's swelled up, right now it's metame deraisa. That's how the Goyin is understanding, according to Rabbi Yochanan. I ignore the past and I just look at the present. In Mela, I don't have to look at what this piece of meat originally, the tzura that it originally had. I just look at the present alone, and it's right now a bus and a veil of kezayas. It's right now an oichlem tmeim of kibetza. Therefore, you look at the qualifications of now and you metame deraisa. If that's the case, all I need is to look at is the now, Zokter, then I could say the same thing with regard to the the piece of meat that was a beitza went down and went back up, because even though it went through an intermediate stage in the middle when it was disqualified, if I can generate the din by looking at the now alone, that I don't care about what original state or what it had in the interim when it was disqualified. It's only according to Resh Lakish Hashita, the Resh Lakish holds that unless I look at the fact that it was originally a kebeitza, I'm not going to metame at all, right? Because Resh Lakish holds that if it was small and swelled up, then it's not metame deraisa. That Resh Lakish Hashita was small and swelled up, it's not metame on the Torah level. So therefore, according to Resh Lakish Hashita, if I don't look at the original size that it had, then I'm not going to have a metame on the Torah level at all. So therefore, Resh Lakish Hashita also held that if it was a kebeitza, but then it went down and up, so I have to look at the various stages along the progression and say that in the middle of the progression it was less than the size, and therefore it's dochoy and disqualified from being able to be a metame. Who holds that I ignore the original size and I just look at the present size, and even if it started out small, if the present size is swelled up in the size of a kebeitza, then it is metame. So is also going to hold that they're going that if it started out big, but it got smaller and then got big again, I'd ignore the disqualified stage in the middle. And I only look at the present size. The present size is enough to metame, and just look at the present, and I don't have to be deal with the fact that there was some in earlier stage when it was not qualified, and therefore there'll be no application of dichoy. The Goyen says that with this you can understand that our sugya is unique, and you can't do what the Rekorkas does, which is to ask steers to other places in Shas. This sugya is a unique sugya, where I found it seer, where according to Be'erchan and Paskin, like, you ignore everything about the earlier stage of the piece of meat. Just right now, is it an avela in the Rambam's case, or in Rashi's, the Gemara's case, is it a beitza size to masoichlim? Yes, that's what it is right now. Does it have the requisite size? Is it the requisite shem? Yes. So therefore, according to Be'erchan, and that alone, the present qualifications are enough to generate the din, and therefore I'm not madche it based upon whatever status it had in the past.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on any daf in Shas, including Maariv Mekleimus on each shiur, please visit shasilluminated.org. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. We can be reached at 203-312-SHAS, or you can email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.